Broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Learning Insights, featuring learning professionals, improving performance to drive business results.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you?
I'm doing well. You look remarkably well-rested after last night's festivities.
Yes, long night at Phillips Arena.
So I don't know if you know this or not, because we snuck out just a little bit early before the game was over, but the Dream came through and won, I believe.
I know. They were up big early, and then all of a sudden we asked somebody, and they're like, they're losing. And we're like, how'd that happen?
Is that when we decided to leave?
That's like, we better get out of here. It's going to get crazy.
What a fantastic event, though. We were out there for the Association of Corporate Growth Women's Forum. We were doing remote broadcasts. And we interviewed some pretty smart ladies,
that's right,
didn't we?
One of the owners of the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah, Kelly Loeffler. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to own the New York Stock Exchange here for
Her company just purchased the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, so how's that for making contacts, right?
That's
winning
right.
Friends, influencing people. And we talked to the lady who's running the foundation over here next door, our neighbors at Newell Rubbermaid.
That's right.
And several others. But you know what? None of that is exciting.
Doesn't matter.
Compared to what we're doing this morning. Here in the studio, we have back with us, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, from the good folks that underwrite this show for us, Training Pros, we have Leanne Lankford. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we're glad to have you back. What's going on in your world?
Oh, we've just finished up with the ACE program for ASTD.
Right,
you remember,
right.
You had like half the people presenting in here.
Yeah, we had the big wigs in the studio,
the
like
big
right before,
keynoters.
Right?
Keynoters, yeah. It was
How'd
very
they
exciting.
Do?
Oh, they were really great. I didn't get to go hear them, of course, because I worked at the trade show booth.
Exactly. You know, of course.
So I'm hoofing it around, carrying the, 20-pound stuff and setting it up. But, yeah, so we had that last week, and that was fun. And we're just, summertime hours are starting to end. People are getting
right.
back to work.
Back in the groove.
Yeah, all the vacations are starting to end. So we're starting to get busy with people going, okay, now we got to get that project going that's got to be done by the end of the year.
Well, the ASTD, they have such a marvelous reputation, ASTD Atlanta in particular, and it's so well-deserved. I mean, those guys do great work, but a lot of it's because they have passionate, committed organizations like Training Pros in there helping them advance their profession. So everybody wins when that happens, don't they?
Yes, we all do, and a lot of it is due to the great volunteers. So volunteering for ASTD is a very rewarding experience.
Well, this is going to be a fun segment because we have with us from Equifax, Mr. Scott Shea. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Stone. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you, man. Now, I understand you have a little bit of experience and expertise on this whole arena of preparing and conducting webinars. Is that accurate? Did I do my homework properly?
I think you did. Yeah, I've actually probably been doing webinars since
before it was cool.
Before Y2K.
Aye.
That's pre-web. It was just in R. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah. No. No. It's been many years that I've been doing it.
Well, I'll tell you what, this may sound a little bit oversimplistic, but I think it'd be of value to some other listeners, and I know it will be for me, just to get a clear definition of what a webinar really is, because I think there's all different kinds of media for learning. How would you characterize it or define a webinar? What is it and what is it not?
Well, that's a great question, Stone, because really I think I'd boil a webinar down to something very simplistic. It's a situation where you can't be in the same place, but you need to be in the same time, and so you handle your togetherness by either remote voice and remote video, remote visual with web. I'd say it's not something that's happening out of real time, because a webinar by nature then becomes conversational. A dead webinar is a bad webinar, and it's one nobody wants to participate in, even the person delivering it. So I'd say it's a real experience with people in various locations in real time.
So being live is an important component. Like if it's recorded, then it's something else.
I would call it something completely different if it's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. Different place, same time. That's a right. That's a good, solid way for somebody of my intellect to capture it and hang on to it. So what are some of the things that might sink a webinar? So we might start out with all the right intentions. We might very well be technically competent and maybe in our own right even be good on the platform where we're in front of folks and we've got, you know, our three go-to jokes or something. But I'll bet even those folks can really get off the rails when they're conducting a webinar if they make a few mistakes that maybe you've seen a couple times, yeah?
They really can. And webinars can be sunk on a number of factors. I'd say a webinar involves multiple things. It involves the participants, and you can sync a webinar there. It involves the technology, and it involves the content. First, if you don't know the content, anything at all happens, you will be derailed because you'll lose your place. You have to know the participants. What if you're using people from multiple cultures? What if you have people that don't understand your jargon? What if you, you know, we were joking before the show started, Leanne said, running a webinar in China. What's their time zone? When are you going to welcome them? So that will cause you trouble. That will disengage the audience. Also, even you guys here at the studio, you've been running radio shows every day, constantly. And even that, you did sound checks, you did system checks. Kevin's over here handling all the stuff. You have this going on all the time. I'm personally afraid to run a webinar by myself. I will do it. I don't want to do it. I'll have a producer in the room with me. The producer's running two computer monitors. One computer is as part of the presenter, and the other computer is as a participant. I do an awful lot of software webinars. So when I'm running a software webinar, I want somebody in the room physically with me to say, hey, you know, the window in the window is not scrolling. You're going to have to tell them to scroll up and down. I need a second pair of eyes with me. So there are multiple factors. I think the biggest thing that will derail your webinar is not engaging the participants.
Now, is a person, if somebody's a good stand-up in front of a room presenter, does that translate to webinars, or do they have to kind of learn different skills to be compelling in that format?
I think, Lee, really the skills are amazingly similar because you're basically doing the same thing. You're designing the same content. There are some differences, though. For example, right now, you all may have a sense of how many people are participating in this session today. Mm-hmm. I have no clue.
There's five of us.
No, my mom listens most Wednesdays.
Hi, Stone's mom. So, but presenters have their own mannerisms. They have their own style. I like to move a lot. I point at things. I gesture. The participants can't see that I'm pointing at something
right.
if they can't see it. So I have to handle it differently. My gestures need to be bigger. My voice needs to I need to be more careful about my voice. I need to pay much more attention to how I'm delivering my content. I need to pay more attention to my pace. I also don't have the beauty of being in the room with the participants. Remember, we're going back to same time, not the same place.
Right.
When I'm in a situation with the same time, not the same place, I don't see that confused look. I don't see the hand going up. And yeah, I know my webinar tool has the little hand up thing. I'm rocking and rolling. I don't see right. that. The producer sitting next to me sees it and interrupts.
They're like waving.
Yeah. Hello. So, or if I'm teaching software, I can't see that I've lost.
Right. Them. So you lose those visual cues.
Mm, all the visual cues. Yeah.
So how do you get around? How do you sense if you're losing the crowd or if they're getting it?
Yeah. Well, one of the ways it's really important is to regularly check in with them. And that has to be culturally sensitive as well. I'm not going to say, are you there? And I've heard people deliver webinars. They'll do that. It's embarrassing to me. Mm-hmm. It's negative to the participants. So there are some very positive ways. And the ways you would gauge that are by actually engaging the participants. Mm-hmm. So I'll start off early, make sure that they're using the Q&A chat. I'll get everybody using the Q&A chat. Then my producer's monitoring that. And say, okay, what questions do you all have? How's this progressing? Did anybody get stuck anywhere? Do you want to show your screen to see how this is progressing?
So when you ask them to do something, so you know that they're paying attention a little bit, right? Like an easy thing, right? Just to get them comfortable with using it.
Indeed. Or if it's a conversation, or if we're going through some content, like it might be soft skills training or something like that, then I'm actually – some of the studies that I've heard and read say that at least every 4 to 5 minutes you need to have an engaging experience. Send a poll out. Use a whiteboard. Have them use the chat. Have them – I've been on webinars where we've tweeted, whiteboarded, emailed pictures –
So you're giving them something to do regularly on a rhythm that makes sense.
Right. If I want to know what they think, I need a poll.
So, like, what's an example of a poll you would do?
A poll would be how many of you use a professional webinar tool?
Uh-huh.
And how many of you use a free service? There's a rise of free services these days.
Right.
Example that most everybody would know would be a Google Hangout.
Right.
How many of you are using a Google Hangout or Skype for webinaring to replace your corporate enterprise-wide tool?
Right. So you ask that, and is it telling you like a number, like 100 people say Google Hangout and 50 say Skype, or is it giving you a percentage?
You can have that actually set up different ways. You can have it however you want to do. Often percentage is better than numbers.
Uh-huh.
If I'm delivering a presentation and there are 3,000 people there,
right,
that's a lot of people, then numbers don't mean that much. Percentage means more. If there are only 20 people, then numbers feel skewed. So you still need percentages to really gauge the overall segment of the audience.
But you could get that fast. It could be accurate and anonymous. I could see that like if you're in the change management world, and in a prior life I spent some time in that world, and you wanted to ask a question about how well is the sponsor communicating the drivers for this change, there may be people that don't want to raise their hand in the room and say, my boss's boss is really not doing too great. But he might click that thing and say, I'm rating this person a 4 on this, and you have that data, and you can use that as a platform for a dialogue, yeah?
Indeed, Stone, that's a great question. As a matter of fact, we just went through a reasonable cultural change of creating a new career framework and making career visibility very transparent at the company from a global standpoint. We had e-learning, we had emails, we had lunch and learns, we had user guides, we had workbooks, we had webinars. During the webinar, and in-person sessions as well, but during the webinar, you could, from a change management standpoint, we could say, all right, on the change curve, you could be at any of these places. How are you feeling about this specific change? Are you feeling resistant to this? Are you feeling acceptance? Are you bought in? Where are you on the change curve? And the beautiful thing is nobody feels threatened when they reply.
Yeah.
They can reply honestly. So it's a great forum for that. You can actually take advantage of being in different places at the same time.
Now, when you're in your role, you're in the global learning and development?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is it when you're doing something globally and you might have somebody from one culture, like an Asian culture or maybe a Latino culture, and it's kind of different ways of dealing with people? Are they both – is the trust level there so that they're going to share the truth, or they still have some cultural issues where they're afraid to kind of step on toes? How do you deal with that?
Lee, that's a great question. A lot of that comes into – first, it starts with preparation.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know my audience. Who is coming into this webinar? They're coming in from England. Well, that's okay. I lived there for a while, so I know those folks.
Right.
They're coming in from Latin America. We have a very large Latin American population. Well, it just so happens that I have many contacts in Latin America. I would never personally deliver a webinar into Latin America by myself in English. I have a teammate who speaks Portuguese and Spanish fluently. And Gabby would lead those webinars. I would be her producer. And we would have conversation. My Spanish is pretty non-existent, so she would translate for me.
Right.
But I would actually have her do that. She's aware of the cultural sensitivities. And then we would also have someone participating in country as a third person. Then actually, see, I prefer all of the presenters in a room together. But it's quite possible, and the beauty of this scenario is that you can have multiple presenters, multiple locations. That's another layer on the beauty of what a webinar can do for you that we've not even mentioned yet.
That's almost a hybrid.
It is, yeah. Because think of the flexibility you have. You have technology, the internet as it exists today, voice as it exists today, gives you so much flexibility, gives you the challenge as well that you need to be well aware of that. So if I'm going into another culture, I have someone from that culture who's helping me actually lead the webinar. And I ensure first that they're a trusted person in that culture. I'm not going to welcome somebody they don't like.
Right.
And it's, that reminds me of another point too, because Stone, you had said, you know, what's going to cause you issues.
Right.
The technology itself will cause you issues.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I've got not just my computer. If somebody's presenting with me, I'm going to make sure that they are accustomed to the computer they're using. I've had people walk in their room and go, oh, no, you have a laptop. You don't have a mouse. I'm like, seriously? Really? And I learned from that. All right, now we have to have all this prepared ahead of time. And then we get into the scenario where my producer's over there with their computer logged in as the presenter as well. If my computer goes out, I've had my phone go out before. I was using a landline, and my landline went out. I was doing a webinar from the house. My internet was still good, so I had a backup of an emergency slide. Throw the emergency slide up that says, technical difficulties, I'll be back in 2 minutes. Grabbed one of my cell phones, dialed into the webinar from my cell phone, excused the slight pause, rock and roll. Don't spend time sitting on a problem, but you have to have backups.
Right, redundancy, that's critical.
It is. I mean, let's see. We're in a room. There are five of us in the room, everybody paying attention. There are six microphones, and the unused microphone is staged, ready for someone to grab if needed. We have someone monitoring the technical piece at all times, adjusting it when I forget that I'm supposed to be close to the microphone and I back up. So all this is being taken care of. And the same things about which you're concerned in this room, you need to be concerned. But you have great flexibility with what you could do. So, yeah, in country, I'd use someone from the country. They don't have to be with me. But we would prepare ahead of time, too. I run, if I'm using multiple presenters, multiple locations, we will have pilots. We will practice, practice. If you are not comfortable delivering the webinar, you have no business delivering it. My saying is, if you don't know the lines before the show starts, you shouldn't have sold tickets.
So. That's fantastic. I like that. Thanks. You may hear that again.
Hey, it's yours. Go for
future
it.
Future broadcast. All right. So let's take a look at it from the other perspective. Let's help the learner get the most out of a webinar. What are some tips, if any, we might share with the learner to help them really gain the most from the learning experience?
That's great, Stone. One of the things the learners need to do is don't try multitasking. Don't do a dozen things at once. Seriously, I'm guilty of that. So
telling me the webinar's going on, you're not doing other work?
Catching up on the
line when I'm participating. So, you know, my email dings or something like that. But success for the participant begins with the presenter. So my engagement of the participants begins at the invitation. So this is what we're doing. This is what I expect from you. This is what we're going to work on. I want you to complete this survey. I want you to read this white paper. I'm not going through the white paper in the webinar. I mean, that is boring.
So you give them homework before the event.
Give them homework before the event. Mm-hmm. Begin the event with a poll or a question about the homework.
Ah, there you go.
So one of the ways – so yes, the participants dialed into your webinar fully expecting to receive from you and to be engaged. If a participant is not engaged, it might be because they shouldn't have dialed in, shouldn't have connected to the webinar. But if a participant's not engaged, 90% of the time, it's the presenter's fault because the presenter is not engaging the participants. Mm-hmm. So you have to think every four or five slides, I'm actually backing out of this, and I'm changing my slide so that my slide has a completely different visual. My slide looks different than it does. The focal point's different. Every 4 or 5 minutes, I'm engaging them in some kind of poll, question, whiteboard. You don't want them to feel like they're on a roller coaster because you have content to give, but you have to continually check in with them. It's not a, hello, anybody out there in radio land? But it's engage with me. And in that regard, I actually don't like personally to have presenters and participants talking together. I prefer a chat sequence. I prefer text. I prefer Twitter. I prefer email live during the session. If there are four or five people and if I'm doing a coaching session or something like that, sure, we'll have the lines open. But for the most part, the only people talking are the people in the room doing the presentation. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has the opportunity to chat. So I really feel like engagement is up to the presenter, not the participant. If they didn't want to engage, they wouldn't have signed up.
Now, what tools are you using when you conduct these webinars?
It's kind of funny. You know, you'd think I'd say, well, I use the most expensive tools there are. I have piloted the most expensive tools there are, and I like them, and I would love to have them. You know, I'd love to have those tools that say, well, Leanne's sitting over there, and the webinar hasn't been the front window for 5 minutes, and you need to, hey, Leanne, how's it going out there?
Right. Wake her up.
Yeah,
right?
wake her up.
But you have that ability in some tools?
In some tools, but not the ones I have.
Oh, okay.
I use Microsoft Live Meeting, which is a fairly basic. I've used WebEx. I've used Google Hangouts.
So you've used Google Hangouts?
Yeah,
there's
personally.
Free ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's free, right?
There are some awesome free ones today. I've seen some free ones. There's actually, and I haven't explored this one, for all of you who have your own WordPress site, I've found that there's a new WordPress plugin that permits – oh, Leanne's excited. That permits
she
you,
just lit up, yeah.
That permits you to do webinaring through your own site. The
wow,
problem
sweet.
Is you better start paying attention to bandwidth usage and all that. So anyway, there are options and options. My concern is not so much do I have the best tool. My concern is am I taking advantage of the tools I have?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a tool that permits sharing screens. It permits giving off presenter rights. It permits questioning. It permits hand raising. It permits whiteboarding. I use every one of those. If I don't have a tool I want to use, then I find another tool that will cover that. If I want a Twitter feed going on, well, create a Twitter feed for it. I don't have to have that incorporated into
right.
my tool. So
as a presenter, that's a good practice, a good best practice to really get in-depth knowledge of whatever tool you're using so you can get the most out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Lee, I'd say if you don't know the tool you're using, it's just as bad as not knowing the content you're presenting.
Uh-huh.
And it comes back originally to what is a webinar in the first place. A webinar is an engagement with people about content in real time. So, you know, how many tools do you need for that? Seriously. A lot of it's icing on the cake.
Right.
Now, you mentioned change management a little while ago, earlier in the conversation. What are some other areas of content that you're covering in webinars at Equifax?
We do pretty much any time we have people that can't be in the same place at the same time or the cost is exorbitant. Today, in today's world, cost is king in many areas. And if I need people together for an hour, I don't even think about bringing them together in person. Good luck finding a conference room for 20 people. Seriously. Let's have a webinar. That's almost my go-to these
days. So what's
days.
The number of people where you just go right to a webinar? Is it 20?
No. If it's more than 30, I would go to a webinar. But if I'm doing interactive training sessions, I try and keep it below 30. I've had webinars for 5, 12 people. The main key there is can we be in the same place at the same time more than the number of people?
Right.
So I'm focused more on that mm-hmm. issue. So we've used webinars for software system training. We've used webinars for new processes. We've used webinars for soft skills training. Because you can say, all right, I want you to break into small groups. You know, I'll have like four or five conference rooms around the country with 10 people in each conference room.
Right.
You know, I want you to break into two groups. I'm going to play music in the background. I'll stick some jazz on. And
but you're available if they have questions.
I'm available. Right. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm going to go grab a cup of tea, hit the restroom.
Right.
Y'all do that. Come back. You've got a half an hour for this exercise. And then we're going to gather together. I've got poll questions to bring us back together. We're going to consolidate that. I've got a whiteboard on which we're going to capture everybody's brainstorming ideas. Mm-hmm. So you can also use it for brainstorming. Anything you can do with a group of people in a room, you can do in a webinar.
Is there anything that you found that you can't do?
I found things a challenge, mm-hmm. but not an impossibility. And there may be some folks out there in radio land disagreeing mm-hmm. with me right now. For example, I have done a great deal of software training. Software training is for me a challenge because I love to roam the room. I will talk. We will be very interactive. You have assignments. I want to see, Lee, how you're doing.
Personally.
You personally. Right. Now, there are very expensive webinar tools that will permit me to do that, but it's a challenge. But by the same token, 20 people in a room can talk simultaneously in a webinar, and they can't when you've right. got them in person. But so software training, even though that's what I've done the most through a webinar,
has its challenges.
Presents for me the most challenges, mm-hmm. just because I love that in-person touch.
So, I get the sense that this and any content area and approach to delivering that kind of training is not mutually exclusive. Something as intimate and as idiosyncratic as, I don't know, sales call simulation, where you're going to have
somebody. It's perfect.
To me, you could do it all because you could have those simulations in those conference rooms that you're talking about, but you could blend the learning with the principles, the content, the feedback. So these are not mutually exclusive ideas. This doesn't necessarily have to replace some of these other methods at all, does it? It can enhance them.
Oh, definitely. And I love, Stone, that concept, because what you're doing is you're pulling blended learning into this from a broader perspective. So I want you to practice this. I want you to read this. I want you to study this. I want you to have gone through the e-learning. Now we're going to discuss and we're going to run some simulations. So the software I use doesn't permit me to show video in real time, so I'll send them video ahead. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. we can go through. I can show a nice couple of pictures on the presentation, and then we can run the scenario. You don't necessarily have to see somebody going through a simulated sales call. You could see a simulation picture or two of the sales call, and then you can hear it. So when I'm talking, the picture looks at me. And then when it transitions to you responding to me, Stone, the camera pans to you. I'm just changing the still pictures.
Right.
In the brain of the participant, and again, I've tried to use the word participant as opposed to eavesdropper. These are participants. The brain of the participant is hearing and seeing the movement. They didn't need the video.
Right.
So what's next for you? You got any really fun, cool, exciting projects coming up?
Oh, yeah. We're doing we're actually working on, we were going to deliver it as a webinar, but we realized that it should be a workbook ahead. We're going to do something on career development. I'm looking at taking orientation and trying to study this and work with some folks who can give me best practice and moving it so that it's consistent globally, either some webinar, some blended learning, some e-learning, just some great things going on. Really, I love my job.
I can tell. I mean, your passion, your enthusiasm is contagious. I got to ask, when you have subject matter experts and they don't – I think I already know the answer. But when you have them, you've got to do some things to get them up to speed to where they can observe some of these principles. So that's part of how you spend your energy as well, right?
Getting he does webinars on that.
As a matter of fact.
I mean, how do you get good at this? I guess what I'm asking, it's repetitions, mm-hmm. it's flight time, it's hanging out with you. How do you get good at this?
I'd say there are a number of things. One is you have to do it to start getting good at it. Yeah. Overcome your, like anything else, overcome your fear. If you want to learn a language, you're going to have to start looking like a fool. if you want to start leading webinars, you have to start leading webinars. There is a wealth of webinar information out there. Find people that are leading webinars about webinars. There are experts out there. People that have doctorates in this stuff run webinars about it.
Is there anybody that comes to mind that you lean on?
One of my favorite is she's married, Carmen Simon now of Rexy Media.
She does a good job.
She does an excellent job. Wrote down somebody else's name. This is terrible. I should know them off the top of my head. Cindy Huggett. Excellent, practical stuff. Mm-hmm. Cindy's very good about – I learned so much from her about backup, preparation, right. Preparation. There are great folks out there. You could call Leanne.
She knows some good folks.
Cindy's in her talent pool.
Is that right? Really?
No, but it's one of the reasons that you guys are so successful at Training Pros. You have seasoned people that know how to deliver webinars, and you know how to get subject matter experts up to speed. I mean, that's part of what you guys do, right?
We have the experts. Right. Come to us.
They are the experts, really. Right. And to be honest, I'd rather a subject matter expert in the room, not as the keeper, not as the primary presenter, but as the assistant. So I'll bring a subject matter expert in. I'll bring a technology expert in. I'll bring an OD person in. We'll start the conversation. I will manage the conversation because I have the most experience managing an online conversation.
Right.
And then as the the person managing the chat for me will have a question, and I'll say, well,
let's ask the expert, right?
Lee.
There you go.
Lee, what are your thoughts on that? I will have prepped Lee ahead of time.
Right.
Your answers need to be succinct. They need to be short. You need to do a better job getting your face in the microphone than I'm doing today. All of those kind of things.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. We got to have you back, man.
I love it.
Yeah, keep us up to speed with what you guys are doing out there.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, we will definitely have you back. And, Leanne, you know we're going to have you back because you always bring us the greatest guests. This has lived up to its advanced press, Lee. It has been both exciting and informative. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our good sponsors over at Training Pros, our producer, Kevin Finn, who's doing all the great backup that Scott talked about, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next week on Learning Insights. Although we style.